Good morning and Merry Christmas to you. Our congregation, Emmanuel Fellowship Church, is not having an in-person Christmas service this morning, but we still want to remember the gift of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we take the opportunity to reflect on one of the many reasons why Christ came, namely to destroy the devil and his works. Dr. Joel Beakey and I several years ago wrote a book called Why Christ Came, 31 Meditations on the Incarnation. And one of those meditations is based on the truth taught in such texts as Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 1 John 3, verse 8. I'll share that reflection with you now. Listen, first of all, to these passages. First, Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now that's a reflection on one of the reasons Christ came to die, but John says that's why Christ came. So listen to 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The devil has always raged against God and against his church, seeking her destruction. Jesus teaches in John 8:44, for example. But Jesus' physical entry into the world heightened the intensity of the battle between God and Satan. Satan remembered the powerful words that God thundered at him in the garden after the fall into sin of our first parents. God said to him, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Genesis 3, verse 15. And so remembering these strong words prophesied against him, at Jesus' birth, the devil was poised to cut short the redemptive work of the woman's seed. We know from the Gospels that Satan worked through Herod to try to extinguish the child's life before he reached his second birthday, Matthew chapter 2. The book of Revelation was written to encourage Christians with the good news that in the end, Satan's plan to defeat Jesus would fail, and God instead would defeat the devil. And so the Apostle John puts it this way, picturing in Revelation chapter 12, a great red dragon, personification of Satan, who's standing before the woman, image of the church and of Mary, who's about to give birth so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4. So that's what Satan was trying to do at the birth of Jesus, to cut off the life of the conqueror that God had promised way back in the garden. But that's not what happened, is it? In Revelation 20, verse 10, John sees the dragon cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever. This is the bitter end of the dragon and his co-workers. And Satan knows it. And so, like a man on death row with no possibility of parole, Satan and his host, in the words of the Belgic Confession, to the utmost of their power as murderers, watch to ruin the church and every member thereof, daily expecting their horrible torments. The devil is fierce, and he fights with the tenacity of one who knows that his end is near. But this is one of the messages of Christmas. We must not lose hope. We must not lose heart, for Christ came to destroy the devil and his works. Throughout his earthly ministry, we see Jesus doing just that, fulfilling this reason for his coming. He exercised dominion over the power of hell. He fought the devil with the word as the sword of the spirit. He went about doing good, Acts 10 verse 38 says, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Before Christ's power, the demons groveled in the dust, begging for mercy. Luke 8 verse 31 is just one example. When Jesus died on the cross, some of his followers even had feared that the devil had won. But with his death, Christ conquered death, that great enemy of mankind that had entered the world through Adam's sin, Romans 5, verse 12. Death was the tool that the devil used to keep men in bondage and fear, Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Yet with his death, Jesus crushed the serpent's head, as God had promised in Genesis 3, verse 15. Indeed, Satan fell like lightning from heaven, but to no avail, Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 18. Reflecting on Christ's first coming helps us to remember his devil-destroying work. And because he has conquered death, Jesus' disciples can resist the devil in his name. That's what James says in chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says it in Ephesians 6, verse 11. We can say no to the works of the devil, knowing that Christ came to destroy those works, and we mustn't do them. Believers have the freedom to obey God's command in Romans 6, verse 12, for example. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and its lusts. We have the power to pray to Satan's slayer in Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Christ's power over Satan and his work should give us great confidence. Right? It should chase away our fear. Imagine being one of the Israelites in the days of King Saul, as Saul and his armies were gathered in the valley of Elah against the Philistines. Every day the Philistine champion Goliath defied the people of Israel and their God. And as a result, people were afraid. 1 Samuel 17:11 says this, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That's how we could live if we were unconvinced that Christ is our devil slayer. But then imagine the joy of seeing God's warrior David slay the giant and hold up his severed head. When the Israelites saw that Goliath was dead, the Bible says in verses 51 through 53 of 1 Samuel 17, they arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, plundering their tents. So Christians, no matter what our circumstances, have no reason to dwell in the valley of defeat. For Christ is our giant killer. In him we also have power over the devil, as Acts 13 verses 9 through 12 teach. The German pastor and hymn writer Johann Rist had this great victory in mind when he composed these words in 1641. Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning. O shepherds, shudder not with fright, but hear the angel's warning. This child, now weak in infancy, our confidence and joy shall be, the power of Satan breaking, our peace eternal making. So I hope this year you'll, as you remember the coming of Jesus Christ, will also remember this reason of his coming, that he came to destroy the devil and his works. That should give us great confidence to submit to the leadership of Jesus. And it should also embolden us to follow Jesus in this high calling of resisting the devil. I'd like to encourage you to pray with me now, a closing prayer, reflecting the theme of Christ coming to destroy the devil and his works. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray to you in the name of the Messiah, who came into the world in the fullness of time as true God to break the dominion of Satan, and true man to be our mediator before God, that he may redeem us who were bound under the law. In Christ Jesus, our victor, we renounce Satan, that ancient serpent, who seeks to devour us as he did our first ancestors. He still bruises our heel and is truly a murderer from the beginning. Pull down all the strongholds of Satan in this world. Frustrate his plans to energize and give shape to worldly value systems, institutions, organizations, philosophies, and political, social, and economic systems, and establish your kingdom throughout the earth. Strengthen us by the gift of Christ, so that we would receive the crown of righteousness by piously fighting against all our enemies who attack us from all sides, and especially against the schemes of the devil. May we take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the devil and all his power. May we resist the devil, and may he flee from us. May it come to pass what you have promised, that we will soon crush Satan under our feet, in whose power and snares we were held captive. We worship Christ, who has cast out this ruler of the world and has given us the victory. Teach us through our many trials to number our days, recognizing that we are but fading in this age, but will flourish in the age to come. We know that these struggles are not tokens of your wrath, but are part of your plan to save us, sanctify us, and glorify yourself. While we may fear the circumstances, we no longer fear the condemnation of the law, the sting of death, or the sharp arrows of Satan. For we know that your Son gained victory for us by his faultless life, substitutionary death, and victorious resurrection. May you be praised now and forevermore. Amen. And God bless you this Christmas season, and the peace of Christ be with you and your family.